I want to get into the Word of God a little bit and talk to you about two particular portions of Scripture that God is just kind of tying together for me, has been here lately, the last couple of weeks. They're not really Scriptures that I necessarily would have put together on my own. I wouldn't have seen a direct connection maybe, but the Lord saw fit to show me some things about this. So two portions of Scripture. I believe that these two Scriptures, as the Lord showed it to me, they work together in such a way that you personally will be strengthened through His Word, and I believe it's going to open up some things in your marriage too when you see how you can put these things into practice. So to start with, I'm going to call this message a need-to-know basis. You've ever heard that term? It's on a need-to-know basis. We'll talk about that in just a second. So the title of the message is A Need-to-Know Basis. Let's look at Genesis 1:1. I mean, we all know it. How many times have you read it or heard it or seen it somewhere? You've seen this. In the beginning, God. And I'll have to admit, I've heard lots of different ministers over the years, you know, talk about that. And usually there's one particular emphasis put on that. And it's usually the word God. Which makes sense because, hey, He's in the beginning and it's all about God. So, I mean, I understand why that would happen. But God started showing me this in a little different way, and He put the emphasis on the words "in the beginning." And I don't think He was stepping aside from His name or anything, but, you know, this is just how He showed it to me. If we just started to trust God in the beginning of whatever it was, how much simpler it would be. How much simpler it would be. And as the Lord dealt with me about this, He was very specific to show me that He's not talking about wanting to be in the beginning of just your problems. He also wants to be in the beginning of your successes, the things that are tremendous, the amazing testimonies. But also certainly in the beginning of the issues that you have and the problems or the argument or the whatever it might be. What a difference it would make if we chose to include God in the beginning of whatever it was that was going on. Maybe it's a business venture for you, like Dr. Stumbo brought up. Maybe it would be in the beginning of your marriage. Some of you are already a few years into this, you know, but I mean, hey. If you've been married 3 years, but you know that you're going to be married 300, well, then you're in the beginning. See, you're in the beginning. It's just that you're just getting started. But what if we consciously chose to include God in the beginning of our decisions, our day-to-day decisions, our family, our problems? What if we included God in the beginning of the thing that brought us fear or the thing that brought us doubt? What if He actually was in the beginning of all of these things in our life? We've got to learn. We all have to learn. I'm not excluding myself. I got this myself. So, I mean, I'm passing on to you what I've already been through. We've got to learn how to put God first and keep Him in the beginning of everything in our lives. But instead, so much of the time, we keep ourselves in the number one spot. We do. It's easy. We've become, so much of the time, self-reliant. We've become independent of God in a lot of ways. And you say, no, brother, no. Well, just hang on. We're just starting the message. We're just in the beginning of the message. So. But, you know, God's blessed us with abilities and God's blessed us with talents. And some have financial assets and all of these things. But, you know, it's so easy to let God slip out of the number one spot and to slip ourselves in there and become self-reliant. I'm a self-made man. Oh, really? How about that breath you're breathing? You can actually get to the point where you've accumulated enough financially not to really have a need to trust God anymore. Or maybe even a part of that. Maybe you don't go that far, but there are areas where you don't trust him as much because you don't really need to. I don't have this pressure here anymore. We've got money in the bank, or the car's paid for, or whatever it might be. We're okay. Everything's on track. That's a great place if your walk with the Lord is solid and secure, in a very dangerous place if it's not. So in the time of great success can be a very challenging time too. I know people that are like that. I know people that are financially well off enough that their trust level in God has gone down. It's not just dangerous when it comes to money. It's also dangerous in any way that you slack off or let go of your trust in God. Anytime you become self-reliant or independent of God, even in your marriage, there are areas in your marriage where you're no longer trusting him like maybe you used to. Things started off a certain way, but maybe it's a little different now. Relying completely on maybe your ability to plan, your abilities to be romantic or to come up with that date time. It's because you watch it. The bottom line is, when you've taken God out of the number one spot in your life and placed yourself there or anything else there, you are actually out of the will of God and have set yourself up as a God in his place. Because there can only be one person in the number one spot, and whatever is in the number one spot is God. It's not a downer. It's just something we need to realize more, take note of it, because there are some really tremendous things we're going to get into here that are going to just break this thing wide open. You see, we're supposed to keep our trust in the Lord, not in all of the ways we can provide for ourselves, but it is easy sometimes to put the trust, your trust, your family's trust, into things like your investments or your 401k or the fact that you can defend yourself, or maybe your stash of cash or your mad money or whatever it might be that you've set aside. Sometimes when you've set enough aside, you've also set God aside. And we just have to be aware of that and watch that. It's just something we should keep our eyes open about. Our trust in this life must be put in the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. At the same time, we can identify if you have placed yourself in the number one spot by looking at how much actual trust you put in God when problems arise. Because there's the proof is in the pudding right there. Why is it that we continuously try to handle everything on our own? And don't tell me you don't. You have, and I have too. Almost to say, I got this, God. I got this. And he does enable you. He does give you wisdom. He does give you power. And there certainly is a cooperation with God that is godly. But any time that you've removed God out of it and think that you can handle things on your own, or even if that's the first direction you go in is to try to handle things on your own, we need to watch that. We look to ourselves first. We can handle things on our own. We have a mindset sometimes that since I cannot accomplish it, it cannot be done. Well, that's the opposite of it. Well, that's totally untrue. Almost everything God's called you to do, if not everything, is impossible for you to do. Why is that? Because he wants to be the one that gives the strength and the ability to do it so that he can get the credit and glory for it. You're not supposed to get the credit and glory for it. You're supposed to point to Jesus in everything you do. And that's it. See, we've got this life that we're living and breathing and walking around. What's the point of it? The point of it is that in everything that we do, that we're able to point to Jesus Christ and give him the credit for everything that's happened, every good thing. And he does a lot of good things. Sometimes it's almost as if we keep God on the back burner for those odd times when we can't handle it on our own. Sometimes we wait until the problem's so far gone to include God that, like, it's God to the rescue or something. Then if it doesn't work out the way we wanted, we think that God couldn't come through this time. Maybe he doesn't really care about my needs, or maybe he's just not interested this time. But you cannot accumulate enough wealth or take enough medication or have enough ammo or whatever. Have a good enough health care program to keep you from all the things that you're going to face in this life. You can't do it. That's not even the way God meant for it to be. God simply designed it so that you could trust in the Lord with all of your heart. He wants to occupy that number one spot. He wants to be that head honcho, the big cheese, the man upstairs. He wants to be that spot. But he doesn't do it by force. He actually gives you a choice. He gives you a choice in everything. Everything. What does this have to do with my marriage? It has everything to do with your marriage. You will never be able to occupy the position of that man or woman of God that you really need to be for your spouse until you have these things lined up in your heart. When you think you have the power to make it all happen and God is just sitting on the outside of town, you're in trouble right there. So I'm trying to keep you from future problems for sure, but I'm also trying to get you out of immediate danger. Because these things can affect you negatively if you don't know what's coming. If you've got problems in your marriage right now, then this is the beginning of the fix for your problems. But that's not all there is to it. I mean, there's plenty more, and we'll get into that. This is the kind of thinking that will keep things solid for the future if you look at it correctly. See, this really is about, and I've been thinking about this a lot just in the last few months, about raw faith. Just raw faith. I mean, what the Bible says and putting it into practice. We've come up with so many formulas and workarounds and ideas, and we've rearranged scriptures so that this one has to come after that one, and these go together over here, and well, this is a category, and it's troubling, really. It can be troubling when we categorize God and maybe even we limit him in some ways, because we again, even though it's his word, we've categorized the scriptures in such a way that they have to come in this context and this way. And well, certainly this would be the next scripture you would quote after that one, because it just makes sense. These go together. Well, sometimes they do if that's the way the Spirit of God wants to do it, but sometimes they don't. Sometimes God wants to do it his own way. It's about raw faith and nothing more. We've got to stop visualizing God as a guy who comes along and gets us out of our problems. And we've got to start keeping him in the number one spot and realizing he's also the man that'll keep you from the problems. But you've got to do it his way. He's got a way. How many know he's got a way? How many know that man has a way? There's a way that seems right to man. And the end of it is destruction. So I said all that to bring us to this. The second scripture that I believe is tied in with this first. And again, I wouldn't have put these together like this. Let's talk about this trust for just a minute, because there's more to it than meets the eye. The Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Tremendous scripture, powerful scripture. I remember that was probably one of the first 10 or 20 that somebody showed me when I first got born again. And probably the same for you a lot of the times. We see that kind of thing. But I started a while back seeing this portion of Scripture as individual sections that actually work perfectly together. I'll tell you what I mean by that. I think sometimes as Christians we get the first part right and we get the last part right, but we skip the two parts in the middle. And just listen to this. If you just say, if you really do say in your heart, "Lord, I trust you with all my heart. I'm expecting you to direct my path. Show me what to do, Lord." So we pray that and we say that so often. "Lord, I trust you. Just show me what to do, Lord." It's just so easy. But there's two sections in the middle that don't get addressed very often. And the Lord is showing me how those tie in the beginning, God. But I think we've got to pay close attention to these two center sections. So let's look at these. Here's the first section. trust in the Lord with all your heart. So why is it that we tend to trust ourselves so much and Him so little? I asked God that because I dealt with that myself. I had certain fears and things that I dealt with. I had areas where I didn't mean to, but I was doubting God. I thought that He could do this over here, but not necessarily that and this at the same time. I mean, that would be a lot. That would be a lot. So I asked this question to God. Why is it, God, that I tend to trust myself so much and you so little sometimes? And this is what He said. It's because you know yourself and you don't know Me. And I actually wrote in my notes, ouch. So it's not necessarily a doubt problem or a fear problem. It's a knowing Him problem. We don't know Him. And be careful, because you can be very quick to say, well, I do know Him. I know. Okay, you're born again. You do know the salvation of the Lord. Well, I'm spirit-filled. Well, you do know. You know plus. You got the bonus prize. Awesome. But as we go through life, there's this thing called the Word of God right here. And the last time I looked, there's a few pages to that thing. And it's all about Him and what He wants to tell us. And it's His way to reveal Himself to us even more, and for us to know His Son Jesus in even greater and greater ways than we do right now. So it's not necessarily a matter of, I've got this wrapped up, I know you now. No, you're related to Him. You're His child. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's good. I'm His child. I'm going to spend eternity with Him. I'm in eternity right now. But my address will change someday. But I don't know Him in all the intricate ways that I can if I neglect the Word. So the reason that I trust myself sometimes that I can get this done, and if I can't get it done, I'm not sure it can get done, is because I trust myself so much and Him so little, because I know myself and I don't know Him. I know that I will go the extra mile. I'll stay at it till I can get it. You know, if I'm working on a problem, I know that I'll push through. I'll stay later. I'll get that thing done. By golly, I'm going to get it done. But if I don't know this well enough, then I don't know that He invented the extra mile. Amen. My extra mile is like a centimeter compared to His extra mile. I've got nothing on Him. He wrote the book. I'm just reading the book. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. The second section of this is lean not to your own understanding. This is a big section that gets skipped a lot. Understanding, according to Strong's, is knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Lean not to your own, what if you said it like that? Lean not to your own knowledge. Whoa, wait a second, I've been to school. I have a degree. I have a master's degree. I don't, I'm just saying. I've got a piece of paper hanging on the wall. I studied. You know, lean not to your own understanding. You may not get it, but you don't have to get it to obey God.
That's right.
If you wait till you get it, till you understand everything about the thing that He's told you to do it, you will be too late. You will be on the late show. Because it may not happen the way you think, or the way that you want, or the way that you planned at all. It may not look the way that you thought it would look. It may not come through the person you thought it was going to come through. What if God wants to send a child by to tell you which investment to make? What if God wanted to send a donkey to give you an answer? What if God wanted to send that dog with a paper bag full of money like Pastor was talking about? I mean, what if it comes a way other than you're thinking? Mr. Wise Investor got it all sewn up, got it all together. Buy low and sell high. I got my stocks here. I got my app here that tells me everything. I can check. I can tweak. I can look. I got all my triggers set so I know it's going to, well, maybe. Hope so. But what if it came another way? Could you choose to lean not to your own understanding, your own acquired knowledge and wisdom? Could you not lean to that and do it his way if it came to it? Just a question. Just because your account looks a certain way right now doesn't mean that it's going to end up that way. Just because Lazarus is done and gone doesn't mean it ended up that way. Because he's the same God that helps with the account is the same God that's the God of resurrection. Why is it, I know I'm asking a lot of questions, but I'm just trying to stir you up a little bit. Why is it that after all of our Bible teaching, we still try to figure things out, spiritual things out, in a carnal way? These are questions that I've been asking myself. We tend to put so much emphasis on needing to understand how something is going to work that when we don't see it immediately, we drop our guard and go to our carnal friends, our carnal understanding, to get a righteous answer. How many know that doesn't work? That doesn't fly. That's not God's plan. That doesn't fly. You know, God had the solution before you had the problem. He already accounted for what you were going to go through. He already accounted for the decision that you were going to have to make. He already accounted for the thing that you were going to have to do, for the thing you were going to go through. He's already made a way of escape for you. He's already provided strength and peace and all of these things for you ahead of time. Already paid the price and all of that. The Lord told me this one time, and I'm going to tell it to you as a matter of fact. Now, just take this. Just soak it in. You, and I'm talking to you, not your spouse. I'm talking to you. You. You are well able to hear from God anytime, anywhere, through anyone, or without anyone at all. Answers will come if you will listen. Amen. The answer may not come through anything I say tonight. It may come through something that someone you were fellowshipping with tonight at the dinner table said. Maybe it won't even come through anything that happened tonight. Maybe God will speak to you directly. You know, it's his prerogative. Yeah. It's his prerogative. He's God. He can do it any way he wants to do it. Amen. Section number 3. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Now this can be a tough one. Because right away, if you're an honest person, you know you don't do this. Just think about that. Do you really acknowledge him in all your ways? Do you really? Now, you could take this legalistically and go all the way back. Well, I know there's a lot of ways you can go with this. And you can say, well, I have to do it. I have to start at 5. And I have to... No. That's not what I'm talking about. I believe it comes down to a couple of things. First of all, the word, I looked some of these things up. In all thy ways. Ways means this, according to Dr. Strong's. It's through the course of life, along the way, because of or by conversation. What does that mean? That's your everyday life. In all your ways. What ways? Your life. Just every day. All the time. Just the daily life you live. At the mall. At the grocery store. At home with your kids. Whatever it might be. In your life. Your normal course of life. Along life's merry way. That's what the ways part means. And the word acknowledge means to be in observance of. Be observant. And recognition or tell. Now, this is really telling because there's two parts to this here. See, first, you recognize him and keep him alive. Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, you keep him alive in your conversation on a daily basis. Even before you see the good that he's done for you. Or the thing come to pass that you wanted to come to pass. Even before you see that, you acknowledge him. Sometimes when I pray, I will pray, Lord, I thank you that even before I see the answer to this, that you've got this under control. Before I see or understand anything at all about this, before I see anything move in the direction that looks correct, I thank you for doing it. Period. Don't have to see it. I'm walking by faith, not by sight. Then the second part is, and this is the good part, they're both good. Then after you see it come to pass, there's the word tell. Well, guess what that is? That's your testimony of his continual goodness. So there's this acknowledged thing has two parts to it. There's the part of you doing it by faith where you're acknowledging him and thanking him ahead of time. And then there's the testimony part that happens after the good thing comes to pass. Hallelujah. This is the second of two sections that we completely miss most of the time. We got to stop skipping these two because this is powerful stuff. And then the fourth section, and he shall direct my paths. Direct here means to make fit that which seems good and pleasing and right. Well, this would be right in the Lord's sight, the direction he has for you, this made fit direction. And the paths is a well-trodden road. It actually means a caravan traveler. He'll direct your paths. But you're doing the walking. But he'll show you where to walk. Remember those psalms and all those psalms and proverbs that talk about how he'd light your path? Thy word, it's a lamp unto my path, a light unto my path. He'll show you the way to go. He'll enlighten you and show you how to do it. But guess what? You got to put your foot one in front of the other. You got to make it happen. So with those two scriptures in mind, right after I had finished looking at a lot of that, I had an opportunity. I had two opportunities on the same day to put these into practice. And fortunately, the Lord reminded me enough of it, and I was awake enough to actually engage him in it and do it. The first thing that happened was my daughter Elizabeth. I had just dropped all of my children off at the school over here in the morning, about 8 o'clock. And I had dropped them all off, and then I was in the car, and I had pulled away, and I was actually on my way, I think, to a pastor's house. I was going to go help him with some things. And I was on the way, and I got a call from my daughter Elizabeth from the school. And she was kind of petrified because she had misplaced her iPad, which at the school, in high school, is a requirement. All of the high schoolers have iPads because their textbooks are on them and they do their essays and everything on it. She didn't have her iPad and it was gone. I mean, and I think she was not only upset because it costs a lot of money that I had to pay for, but it also had a lot of her work on it that she had to turn in that day. It was due that day. So she was upset. So I said, well, and right away the Lord started reminding me of these things that I just told you. And I actually remained calm. I know it's hard to believe, Miriam, but I did. I remained calm. And I said, okay, Elizabeth, I'm going to turn around and come back. Don't worry about it. It's going to be okay. And I was thinking, I don't know how it's going to be okay, but I'm not going to lean to my own understanding. So, and as when I hung up with her, I said to God out loud with my lips out loud, I said, God, I am choosing right now to include you in the beginning of this problem. Here is a problem, but I'm not going to be the God of that problem. You're the God of that problem. In the beginning, God, I include you right now, Lord. I said it out loud to him. And then I said, not only that, because he just got through telling me all this. So I was holding him at his word. And I said, not only that, I trust you, Lord, with all my heart. And I am not going to try to figure this out. I'm not going to lean to my own wisdom, knowledge, or understanding of this thing because I don't even have any. I don't know where it is. I have no clue. Not my problem. So I'm not going to lean to my own, but God, I acknowledge you right now, and I thank you in advance. Before I see anything, I thank you for bringing that thing back. I thank you, I thank you. And Lord, I trust you to direct my paths. And I went back to the school. And really, I felt like I was just in kind of a nothing kind of a time. I didn't feel any specific word from the Lord. So I did what I would just normally do, just kind of look around a little bit. But I was really in my heart, I was kind of waiting. Just kind of waiting. Lord, show me what you want me to do. But I'm not worrying about it. I am not worrying about it. Not going to do it. And then I decided to leave there and came back over to the church for a minute. And I saw Riley Sanders here. And I just, the thought came to me, ask Riley. And I asked her, I said, you wouldn't happen to have seen Elizabeth's iPad? She said, oh yeah, I've got it in my trunk. She left it over at the cheerleading thing. Where, and you know, from the time that I started saying, God, I include you in the beginning of this problem, it was 10 minutes before I had the iPad in my hand. Now listen, is that a formula? No. Is it the Word of God? Yes. Does it work? Yes. Will it work that way every time? The Word will work every time. Will it work that way every time? Maybe not. Maybe he wants to do it a different way. That's his discretion. His job is to show you what to do. Your job is to trust. Okay? I told you there were two examples. The next example was, after I got that iPad and went back over and handed it to my daughter, who was very happy, then I got back in my car and I went on to the duties I was going to, which was to go to pastor's house. And as it turns out, pastor had something that was missing at his house too. Well, my lightning fast mind said, Lord, I include you in the beginning of this. And I did the same thing. I did the same thing. And honestly, in my heart, I felt like I'm really trusting you, Lord. And I am not worried about this. This is not a big deal. And it was probably, I don't know, 35, 40 minutes or so that the thing that he needed was in my hands too. Isn't that amazing? That's awesome. And I'm convinced that it may not have happened that way for me had he not shown me these things, and I submit that to him and go at it a different angle. Because you could just go at it with your works and your trying and your might. You could just fight this thing. You could go all the way like that. But what God's wanting us to do in your individual life, in your married life, is to trust him and keep him in that number one spot, because he wants to do more tremendous things than we think he does. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him and he will do it. Trust also in him and you'll have to do it. Trust also in him, and if you get enough of your friends together and go looking for the thing, eventually you'll find it. He'll do it. A need-to-know basis. What does this mean? God does things on a need-to-know basis. Now, the term need-to-know, and you've heard this, I know, you basically have an understanding of this. When the government uses it, or a government organization, maybe those related to the military, or maybe you think of this as like an espionage kind of thing, this describes the restriction of data, which is considered very sensitive. Under a need-to-know restriction, even if you have all the necessary official approvals, such as security clearances and all these things, even if you have all that, to access certain information, you would not be given access to that unless you specifically had a need to know that information. And as with most security mechanisms, the aim here is to make it difficult for unauthorized access to occur. Okay? You with me? So need to know aims to limit your access to the information to the smallest number of people possible so that you don't have a breach. But God showed me that God also does things on a need-to-know basis. But it's not the kind of top-secret need-to-know that this is talking about. Sometimes it's easy for us to think that God is withholding information from us. And if we need to know something, well, he'll let us know. But other than that, it's a giant secret. Because we want to know. I want to know. Got to know. It's like top secret, like a Tom Clancy novel or something you'd see in a Jason Bourne movie or something. But God does things on a need-to-know basis, but it's like this. God's need-to-know basis is that it's no secret. You need to know him better. You need to know him better. There's no secret. That's the big secret. There's no secret. He's not trying to keep anything from you. He's trying to get it all to you as fast as he can. He even wrote it all down. And you can access it openly. They even have versions of this called the Open Bible. You're supposed to keep it open. Look at this. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. Oh. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of his, of this law. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and our children forever. Well, that doesn't sound like he's hiding much, does it? Look over here in Psalm 91. Pastor's been talking about this. He that dwells in this, what is a secret place? There's a secret again. It's a secret place. Oh, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Oh, now, wait, it's because you're close. It's because you're close. You know him because you're close. It's no secret. Look over here, Isaiah 45, 19. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not to the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. It's no secret. He's declaring it. Come close to me. You want to know things? Come close to me. It's no secret. Look over here in Matthew 13. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. He's opening his mouth in parables. He's speaking these things. Open. I'm telling you, God has your best interest at heart. And part of seeing your marriage succeed or go further than you can imagine is to understand that you must know how good he is. God is good. He is. He is good. But listen, but not only is he good, he is only good. He is only good. That just sounds so good. I think I'll say it again. He's only good. He is only righteous. He is only compassionate. He is only faithful. He is only just. All of the time, every single time. See, God does not waver like you and I do. He doesn't bounce back and forth. He is consistent all of the time.
That's right.
Look over here. This is one of my favorite parts of the Bible. 1 John. This then is the message we've heard of him and declare to you. That God is light, and in him is no darkness. And then I love the last two words, at all. There's nothing, there's no darkness at all in him. Not one bit. You can't say he's like a tall glass of clean water, except for one half of a drop of mud. No, he's completely clear. He's completely righteous, completely just. He's completely light and right all of the time, every time. There's no darkness in him, period. There's no unjustness in him. He only wants good for you. He only wants you to overcome. He only wants you to succeed. He only wants your bills paid. He only wants you out of debt. That's it. He wants your children to walk in an upstanding way. You say, well, these things aren't happening in my life. When are these things going to start happening? When's it going to come to pass? When are you going to get to know him better? You need to know him. If I could introduce you to him tonight, if I was about to introduce him and have him come in, I would be introducing you to pure love. And because of that, all fear would go, because pure love casts out fear. It can't exist in the presence of pure love. If you were to begin speaking with a complete stranger, or maybe even someone you hadn't seen in a long time, the conversation would probably be a little limited and might even be hesitant on both parties because of the lack of communication and personal time together. It's kind of like that with God. We tend to think that he's going to withhold or withdraw from us because we haven't maybe been with him in a while. We haven't spent the time in his word. I meant to get to that. It's busy. It's just busy. But he's not like that. He desires the conversation and the communication far more than you do, and is always 100% of the time ready to pick up right where you want to pick up. Amen. Every single time. He created you. He loves you. But it is only in spending time with him and getting to know him better that you will really gain the answers to the other things in life that you so desperately desire. I just tend to think that none of this is complicated or hard. I'm not a real complicated person. Well, maybe in some ways I am, but not in this way. The word to me is not complicated. The purpose is not complicated. He just wants to get the glory, honor, and credit for the good that happens in your life. Amen. Period. When you withhold that from him, the answers are also withheld. But not by him, by your inaction. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Come to him. He's inviting you. I heard a Christian comedian the other day give this example about, he said that God is like a navigation device in your car. And you just punch in the coordinates where you want to go, and it figures out for you and tells you to go forward 10 blocks and turn left. But you turn right. Well, it doesn't abandon what you're supposed to do. It just recalculates what you need to do to get where you're supposed to be based on where you are now. That's profound. The only problem is we keep making the wrong turns. And when you do that, it doesn't mean you're not going to get where he wants you to go, but the road conditions might change. You might have to go down a different path to get there, and it might be rougher, and it might take more time. But he can still recalculate how to get you from where you are right now to where you need to be. That could be with your investment, with your kids. You see, you can't give up at any time. See, the same thing was true with Lazarus. It was like a little GPS system going on there. Well, you can't get there from here, God. I mean, he's already dead. By this time, he stinks. No. We'll just recalculate. We'll just take the resurrection route instead of the other route. We'll still get to the same place. It just had to go a different path. So for some of you, you took a wrong turn. I've taken lots of wrong turns. But God has always been faithful to help me get back on a track that would take me to where he wanted me to go. But then the next time he says, go forward 10 blocks and turn left, turn left. It'll make your life a lot easier. Save the wear and tear on your vehicle and all of that. God's plan and direction for your life and marriage remains as solid as the day you started walking. There is a certain way to get from where you are right now to where you need to be. See, this has been a tremendous year of marriage turnarounds. I've seen some amazing, amazing things happen, right? And some in my office, some down the conference room. I've seen some amazing marriage turnarounds. miracles. But maybe you still need yours. Maybe you still need that thing to happen. Maybe you and your spouse aren't as close as you need to be, and you know it. Maybe only one of you knows it. Maybe both of you know it. Maybe things are okay in this area of your marriage, but they're not okay in this other area. You really desire that this would happen, and it just seems like your spouse is always going in the other direction. Maybe there's things where you've already thought, you know, if we keep going down this direction, we're just growing apart. We're just getting further from, I mean, if we keep going down this path, ultimately, it's not going to end well. Maybe those thoughts come. Maybe they have already come. Maybe you think everything's okay. In either case, every one of us has to have marriage maintenance. Doesn't matter. Every single one of us has to have marriage maintenance. And it starts with including God in the beginning of whatever it is that's going on. Trusting in God with all your heart. It might be that it's time for you to be a bigger giver, and you know it, but you just don't know how to do it. Maybe it's time to start that business or to make the investment or something as simple as like Phil was talking about. Maybe it's time that you know you need to attend church more, or you know you need your family to come with you and attend church more. You know it. Like Pastor says, he's just quoting from the Word of God, but when I came into the sanctuary of the Lord, then understood I. There are things that are only going to happen, things that you're only going to get and understand and figure out when you come to the sanctuary, when you come to the house of God. There's things that aren't going to happen any other way. It's the way He rolls. I put this down. How long will you wait to do the things that you know will help you, help your spouse, help your children, help your church and pastor? Can you wait another week, another month, maybe another year before you do this? Sometimes you can just get too comfortable. So in some ways, this is a very, very simple message. This is a trust in the Lord message. This is something that will obviously help your marriage and help you as an individual. You know, if you're an individually stronger Christian and your spouse is too, that your marriage is going to go better. You know that, don't you? If you want your marriage to go better, then you take the first step. You read the Word more. You pray more. Not as an act of works, but because you know that when you do, you're going to know Him better. You're going to get answers that you need. Amen.